Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to this weekend, the end of the week roundup edition of the Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman. I want to thank you very much for your belief and trust in this platform. You know, I was on a conference call this week. But by the way, making plans for February, I've got to tell people that in February, I'm taking to the road as well as Eric the Tech at some point. I'm going to be heading to actually warmer climates. Thank you very much, Palm Beach County. Hint, hint. Is one place. Going to be engaged in a lot of things. I'm going to sneak in some sun as well to get some of that much needed vitamin D. But there are things that are taking place, as this week we saw taking place. I'll have more on that later as it gets closer to the end of the month. But the issues that we're going to be talking about today, and I've got a great end of the week show lined up for you, I believe. You look at headlines, and this is one thing that I see a lot of podcasters, broadcasters, and people who do this do, is they'll jump on a headline and then forget about it. Well, forget about it. I love that movie. By the way, we had we interviewed the real undercover FBI agent from that movie. Remember that? Forget about it. Anyway, there's a lot of I don't like to just glance over headlines. I mean, think about this. Remember, now almost a year ago, it'll be in a week or two, the fire in East Palestine or East Palestine, Ohio. The fires, the chemical spills, the chemical intentional burn-offs. That's been forgotten, hasn't it? And Biden saying, I'll get there. That's been forgotten. Remember as well the Chinese balloons flying over the U.S. and snap, crackle, and pop in the White House. And
I like balloons.
That reminded me of that picture of Hillary standing next to Bill with the balloons going off, with her mouth wide open. We should have that picture like on file. But anyway. Look, there are a lot of things that take place and are suddenly forgotten about. Remember the story about the 5,200 Pentagon workers and subcontractors? This is not on my show notes. I'm just doing this from memory. But remember the reports about the 5,200 Pentagon workers and subcontractors having child pornography on their computers? Again, you touch on that. People touch on stuff like that, and it's gone. It's down the memory hole. It's on to the next shiny trinket. Well, were they ever punished for this? Was there ever an investigation with consequences? I don't know. So I'd like to dive deep into topics. And yes, address the headlines of the week. Understand what has happened, but do a deep dive. And the deep dive of the headlines of this week, I believe, was a strategy session for the global tyranny, purveyors of global tyranny. That's what this week was. The meetings at Davos, if you think about what they talked about, the disease X, for one, and what they're going to do in the event or eventuality of a Trump victory. And I do believe he will be victorious if he's number one, if he survives. And I'm not talking about politically. I'm talking about physically. And I say that because I do believe the global tyranny left, the scumbags do want to take him out in any way possible. But this week, I believe, was the strategy sessions, the planning sessions, the plans, plots, schemes of the tyrannical left. In the event of that they don't take President Trump out, imprison him or whatever. But it's not about President Trump only. And by the way, I'm going to tell you right now, my support is 100% behind President Trump. Why? And I don't care. I just don't care what you think about that. If you don't like it, I don't care. I'm sorry. Can you really get behind DeSantis? I don't. No. He's a great governor. Let him govern.
Yep. Keep him there.
Yeah. 100%. It's not his time. I don't believe it. If I was DeSantis, I would be saying, hey, no, you know what? Go. You've got my support, Donald Trump. You got my support. By the way,
I know a lot of things. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make me a good talk show host.
Or me. Or me.
At okay. least you're a little better than me.
Not quite. Yeah. I don't know. All I know is I by profession investigator, microphone stuck in front of me. What the hell? Who did that and why? Okay. But okay. Here again,
you're sick of eating Twinkies and Beanie Weenies on the road.
The stories I could tell you. I think I've got a couple of pictures. I was doing the undercover work in Brooklyn, and I was working with this is when I was an operational asset for the feds. And I got a picture of me, a much younger me, sitting with a brown bag that looked like a bottle. Well, actually, it had a bottle in it. And I'm sitting underneath all this graffiti, this wall around these people. And there was a small camera that I was in use. And I was pretending to be a homeless person. I don't miss that. I'm telling you, I don't miss any of that. And you know, the hours of the surveillance where you eat nothing but whatever you can eat, which is, I mean, that probably explains why I'm a mess physically. Where you eat nothing but cold pizza, or, you know, if you eat it all, and then
pass me that empty jug.
Yeah, and you keep the cups, I'm telling you, for a different reason. Anyway. But look, we saw this week.
Too. Now we just take fun cases.
There you go. Well, actually, how do you just? Now we don't just take.
Wouldn't
fun
say
cases.
Fun.
No, we. I think our biggest. By the way, this is kind of a side note. I think our biggest
meaningful.
Thank you. You know, it's one thing when people are stealing millions of dollars, and you investigate that, or you have somebody that's dead and there's, you know, a $2 million insurance policy out. You have to see if, you know, it was a suicide, murder, whatever, equivocal death investigations. I mean, all that. Those are interesting. But I think our best operational focus right now is the children, working with groups like shatterops.org, working with groups like Vets for Child Rescue, and finding and seeing, and this is something that I'm telling you, to see the, it's horrendous, yet it's rewarding when you can save just one child, one little girl, one little boy, and you see that glow in their eyes. It's just amazing. So Eric the Tech is very, very involved in that, as I am. And that's where we put our focus. But I digress. And I want to thank Eric the Tech for making all of the sacrifices he does, because he does that on his own. And he's very good at what he does. I mean, you know, tracing. doing the both field work as well as computer work. But it's just when you think about it, and
I like balloons.
Yeah,
I'll bring it back around.
All right, thanks. Well, I was going to say, you know, we've got a hard drive. Never mind. Speaking of Hillary Clinton, that makes me think.
We got a hard drive in a sock.
I'm gonna put a sock. I'm gonna put like rolls of quarters in a sock, and anyway, no, never mind. Do I sound like Biden there anyway? Because every time he gets lost in a speech, anyway. All right, let's get right into it. One of the things I think that we have to realize in the scheme of things, in the planning.
He beats me with silver coins.
They got to be silver, just like copper.
I'm sorry, I'm done.
All right. Are you? Really? That's Eric the Tech. There he is.
I like balloons. Continue.
I like balloons. Yeah. Remember that picture? Oh, anyway. So I do believe the force of President Trump. And again, when I was speaking about putting my support behind President Trump, I do believe that this time around, it's going to be a little bit different. No, it's not about revenge. No, it's not about... it's just, you know, he's been there before. He understands the pitfalls, what got him in trouble before. And we're going to be addressing this because in a little bit, Randy Taylor is going to be jumping on here to join me. But there's an issue here. The derailment of the globalist agenda at the heart of all of this exists with President Trump. If you look at the backgrounds of Vivek Ramaswamy, you look at his connections to Paul Soros, you look at his connections to Big Pharma and what he's done with the pharmaceuticals. That's, man, I'll tell you something. You got to kind of look long and hard about what he's all about, how he got to where he was. And as Eric the Tech has said before, and even Randy Taylor saying he kind of came out of nowhere, you have to start asking questions. Well, some say Donald Trump came out of nowhere. No, I mean, you know where he's been. Kind of like, again, in the alternative media, and I'm not picking on any one in particular, but when you get somebody that comes out of nowhere and all of a sudden has, you know, 500,000 followers that you never heard of, you got to ask, and, you know, is on YouTube, you got to ask yourself the questions. Why? Why is YouTube allowing this? Where did this person come from? What's his background? Look, I'm transparent. I've been around for forever. There, it seems that way. I'm pretty transparent. I think people know who I am. I think all of us have gone through happy times and very, very trying and sad times together. And I'm, again, very transparent as to who I am, where I'm at, what my feelings are. And if you don't like them, fine. If you do, that's great too. But anyway, the point now is, in the scheme, and President Trump, in his New Hampshire speech this week, again, getting back to the week roundup, this week addressed something that lies or exists at the heart of why he cannot, the left don't want, they cannot allow him to become president. That JFK got, one of the reasons JFK was JFK'd, and one of the very necessary mechanisms for tyrannical control, President Trump hit on this. And I don't know how many people saw this. I don't even know what day it was, whether it was Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know. Tuesday. But it's the issue of the central bank digital currency, which is a cornerstone to the control of everyone through CBDCs. He addressed this. And this is cut. And again, like everything else, folks, go to HagmanPI.com, click on the link or the headline for, or the title for today's show, and that'll open up that'll open up all of the links, the citations, the sources. But here is President Trump. This is cut 9. I will stop central bank digital currencies. This is only 30 seconds in length, but I think one of the most important things that he said, and I ask you, does he understand what he's saying and the weight that this carries with it? Here it is, right here, cut nine.
Tonight, I'm also making another promise to protect Americans from government tyranny. As your president, I will never allow the creation of a central bank digital currency. You know about that? I didn't know you know so much. I'm very, well, New Hampshire, very smart people. Very current. You know what they're doing. Such a currency would give a federal government, our federal government, the absolute control over your money. They could take your money. You wouldn't even know it was gone. This would be a dangerous threat to freedom, and I will stop it from coming to America.
That, to me, that clip there is nearly equivalent to JFK's speech. Well, that entire speech, but that specific subject to me rings very consistent with JFK's speech, where an intent to get rid of the CIA, get rid of the, you know, when he talks about secret societies and what have you, and then you're familiar with that, and of course the issue about getting rid of some of the powerful intelligence agencies that really run things. That was, to me, that clip there. The left, the tyrannical globalists, they look at that and think, okay, we've got to stop this guy. Now, again, CBDCs are the cornerstone, I believe, the cornerstone of the surveillance panopticon, the surveillance state. But I've written about this before. We're just going to kill the U.S. dollar, that is. And how we got here, where we're at, why this is important, we need to take a look at this in depth, more than just a glancing blow. One of the core elements to the growth of modern oppressive government would be the total control of the central bank digital currency, of CBDCs. The government response during the corona scandemic and the specifics of the shot mandate, you recall those, right? It was an eye-opening and extremely telling time for many people about how control over our money would be used to as leverage by the U.S. government and by a supranational government. And so during remarks in New Hampshire, President Trump, you saw him announcing that he would never allow the creation of a central bank digital currency. But it should be noted, as if the entire global system didn't already oppose Donald Trump, which they are doing. Again, the strategy session this week in Davos. This position just puts him, or puts, and I'm citing now conservative Treehouse, Sundance, saying it puts an exclamation point on how the multinational financial systems will hate him even more. And I agree with that. And they will pull out all the stops. Why? Because they've got to have this control. But another part of this that a lot of people aren't talking about is when I met with my government insider a decade plus ago, they said, we're just going to kill the U.S. dollar. This is under Obama. And where are we today? Under Obama 2.0. But what about this killing of the U.S. dollar? And folks, I would urge you to read this. I reposted this, I think, in 2024, but this is from a decade plus ago. And it's at HagmanPI.com. But look, since roughly the last year of World War II, the U.S. dollar has employed what one-time French finance minister, remember Giscard D'Estaing, Remember him? Once called the exorbitant privilege of being the world's reserve currency, it had that position roughly since 1944 when it seized the role of the world's currency, this dollar hegemony, from the British pound sterling. Now, that standing is threatened by a whole variety of U.S. policies and assaults by our foreign adversaries. The and internal, I might add, by the Biden-Harris regime, the Obama 2.0 regime. They want to do away with the U.S. dollar, have a global digital currency in addition to a central bank digital currency, and have complete control, subjugate our nation, and remember, borders, language, culture, and I would add, our own sovereign currency. But how we got here, back in July of 44, 1944, that is, it became clear that the Allied advances over the Nazis in Europe all but ensured that the Allies, and especially the U.S., would dominate the post-war world. Back in 1944, some 730 delegates from 44 countries convened at Bretton Woods, Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. Hence the phrase Bretton Woods Agreement. And what that what they did was reestablish the post-war global monetary order. Now, together, these 730 delegates from 44 countries gathered in Bretton Woods, they agreed to a multinational system whereby the global currencies would be convertible to the U.S. dollar at fixed exchange rates that could be modified, if necessary, within this very narrow band of guardrails, if you will. The dollar, in turn, would be convertible to gold at $35 an ounce. Now, I'm talking about 1944 Bretton Woods Agreement. It was left to the U.S. to ensure that the dollar/gold exchange rate remained stable. Now, that was fine until one August day in 1971, and I think I might reference that in this article. I'm not entirely certain. It's been a long time. But the social welfare spending, if you remember, of Lyndon Johnson, the Great Society, the Vietnam War, the dollar investment in overseas businesses, factories, and other assets, as well as a balance of payment deficits resulting from imports more fully recovered Japan and Europe at the time, had greatly expanded the amount of dollars in global circulation. And again, this is how we got here. U.S. officials recognized that the nation's gold reserves were insufficient to honor its commitment to convert dollars to gold at $35 an ounce. So in August of 1971, with a currency crisis brewing, based on what I just told you, Richard Nixon, at the urging of none other than Kissinger and some other globalists as well, we had them back then, of course, they convened this secret meeting at Camp David. It was a three-day meeting. And on August 15th, which was a Sunday evening, Nixon came on the tube, interrupting Bonanza or Ponderosa, I can't remember which program, because more people were upset over that than the fact that Nixon announced he was temporarily closing the gold window to stop any run on U.S. currencies. Or gold reserves, that is, I'm sorry. Because if you remember, the French pulled up a ship to the East Coast and said, "We want our gold. We want our gold." In exchange for these fiat notes here that we got. We want our gold. What are we going to do? Come pray with me, Henry. I'm telling you. So, that temporary closing lasted until about 75 when a meeting of the IMF, another legacy of Bretton Woods, approved a managed or dirty float of currencies at a conference in Jamaica. That's, again, this is important information. You might not think so. You might think, well, you just shut up. Now, this is how we got to where we're at. The IMF was to operate to maintain stability via ambiguous guardrails, at least nominally. But central banks, here we are, including the U.S. Federal Reserve and Bank of England, Bank of Japan, and so on, they were able to intervene to support their respective currencies. The dollar was absolutely, at that moment in time, officially and finally off the gold standard, and was now a fiat currency, meaning that the dollar had value in the U.S. You know why? Because we said it did, and we all agreed that it did. But in other countries, after Nixon closed this gold window, the U.S. dollar became, with other currencies, essentially a commodity. If you wanted to buy U.S. property or securities or to acquire U.S. products, you had to obtain dollars to pay for those things. Now, since the dollar had been overvalued by its link to gold, closing the gold window caused the value of the dollar to decline. And what happened was inflation increased. If you remember that, if you were alive at that time, you remember stagflation. Remember the inflation of the Carter years, post Nixon. Getting back to Nixon, just very briefly. The Treasury Secretary at the time, Nixon's Treasury Secretary, William Simon, he made a secret deal with the Saudis, with Saudi Arabia, in 1974, in which the U.S. agreed to sell arms and give protection to the House of Saud in exchange for what? In exchange for the Saudis investing their U.S. dollar reserves from oil sales in U.S. treasuries. Okay, instead of some other stuff, other assets. Now, oil had been traded in U.S. dollars almost everywhere since the Lucas Gusher at the Spindletop oil field in East Texas was discovered in 1901. A little history there for you. You can research that, Lucas Gusher, Spindletop oil field, East Texas. Texas, 1901. But the Saudis explicitly guaranteed to maintain the pricing of their oil sales in U.S. dollars. Now, that brings us to think today. You hear about the Saudis saying, well, we're going to take rubles, we're going to take this, we're going to take that. What's that going to do to the dollar? And why am I talking about this in the context of central bank digital currencies? Because the numbers, the dollar is unsustainable. They want to kill, as the screen shows, they killed the U.S. dollar. They want to kill the U.S. dollar. So, but the arrangement with the Saudis in 1974 helped the U.S. to run our government budget deficits that we see today and improve its balance of the payments deficit, as well as to maintain the global demand for the dollar. And at that moment in time, they became petrodollars. And if I'm putting you to sleep by giving you this history, then you're not thinking big enough. I'm sorry to say that. You need to understand how we got here and what's at stake and why we've been sucking the fat ass of the Saudis for so long and letting them get away with stuff. Because the only value the dollar had was as a petrodollar, which means that the dollar's value came or exists because of the promise of the free flow of oil from the Saudis to everywhere in the world. But that was upset. And think about that in the context of Ukraine as well. The Nord Stream pipeline. You know the Nord Stream pipeline was hated by the globalists. Of course, that went They blamed the Russians on that when, in fact, it was not the Russians. You know, it was the globalists who did that. But anyway, I digress on this. But all of this ties back to what you've got to look at the history behind this. So in 1974, when Simon, the Treasury Secretary back then, arranged his deal with the Saudis to avoid a dollar crisis, our national debt was roughly 32% of gross domestic product. Now here's where we're at today. Let me say that again. Our national debt back then was roughly 32% of the gross domestic product. So our debt was 32% of our GDP in 1974. Today, the U.S. is more than $34 trillion in debt. Now, you hear these numbers being bounced around by everybody. But let me contextualize this for you. $34 trillion in debt. Do you realize that is about 120% of our GDP? More than it was even during World War II. A little more than $7 trillion of that, the value of the entire U.S. annual budget, is held by foreigners. We are on our way right now to $1 trillion per year in debt service. The only person I hear really getting into the details on this is Steve Bannon. Remember that $10 bill stuffed in a card that grandma gave you on your 10th birthday or whatever? Back in 1971. If you found that $10 bill with that card today, Eric the Tech, what do you think that would be worth based on what I just told you? I mean, there's no mathematical form. Well, there is, but I didn't really give it. But how much do you think the buying power? In 71, the buying power of a $10 bill was $10 based on earned 74, but 71, 74. But what would that be today? The buying power. I won't put you on the spot. $1.20. And you see this when you go to the grocery store. Now, more and more people, because this is hitting them in their back pocket, they're waking up and they're saying, oh, crap.
Where's my money?
Yeah. Where?
It's my money and I want it now.
Oh, don't get that. I hate that Wentworth commercial. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so the inflation, that's why this Biden-Harris regime in the media, they're talking down this, we can't have this. We cannot have, for example, talk about our bad economy. Talk about inflation. We can't have it. So, in the world, the U.S. is engaged in escalating conflicts, by the way, with two nuclear-armed adversaries, China and Russia. And in the war that Iran's terrorist proxy, Hamas, is waging on our ally, Israel. So you've got China, Russia via Ukraine, Iran, and Hamas. Now Iran and Houthis. When you look at the current and former U.S. officials, NBC News reported, by the way, that China's leader boldly told the U.S. resident cracklehead chief, right, that he intends to acquire Taiwan and there's not a damn thing you're going to be able to do about it. Not only do we and the rest of the world get most of our microchips from Taiwan, I should add, but also 50% of the world's maritime container traffic passes through the Taiwanese Strait of Taiwan. Think about that. 50% of the world's maritime container traffic passes through the Taiwan Strait. The Ukraine-Russia war continues and has escalated in the past few weeks, with no end in sight. Lloyd Austin, Lloyd Austin, pledged American prestige by asserting last October that we will deliver what it takes for as long as it takes so that Ukraine can live in freedom. Oh, gosh, but the U.S. border, not so much. The U.S., not so much. But see, all of this, all of this, when you look at the trade, the wars, the endless wars, the financing, the GDP, the fact that we are just $1 trillion to service our debt alone, they've got to kill the U.S. dollar. And they've got to do so and usher in a central bank digital currency. So not only can they control us, but they can hide their crimes. Now, if you think I spent too much time on that, No. We could take programs after programs, which I must say, too, this is why that COVID-19 scam was rolled out in part. To test on control. So this week, the party of Davos, the globalists, the Bill Gates of the world, the Bloombergs, the Mark Zuckerbergs, all got together along with Klaus Schwab and the planning on, we cannot have President Trump stopping or hiding or exposing our financial crimes, or not allowing us, I should say, to hide our financial crimes. And we cannot allow President Trump to get back in so he can make sure the dollar maintains sovereignty by killing the central bank digital currency plans. All right, before I change subjects, I'm going to tell you about trimwithdoug.com. If you're like thousands of Americans this holiday season, this past holiday season, ate too much, have I got a solution for you? Go to trimwithdoug.com. If your New Year's resolutions revolve around weight control, you can rest easy knowing that most Americans, well, they're with you on this journey. Nearly half of all Americans say the resolution is related to weight control, fitness, or physical health, making it the most popular New Year's resolution by far. There is this magical pill. I'm telling you, it's really, I don't know how it works, but it works. It's only for weight management, or it's only for weight management. You get what I'm saying here? I recommend it. I use it. It helps control my appetite. It helps me manage my weight, reduce fat, control cravings, and increase energy. It uses a unique nutrient that's linked to supporting reduced body weight, reduced fat mass, and reduced weight circumference. You know that tire around the midsection there? While increasing lean body mass, plus there's no artificial flavors, colors, preservatives to hold you back in your healthy journey. I'm telling you, you got to try it today for a whopping, and if you do this, you get a whopping 51% off this New Year's. Plus, receive free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, 2 free new ebooks titled Top 10 Foods That Burn Belly Fat, Top 8 Exercises to Reduce Belly Fat, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and free shipping. Order this right now before this offer ends by going to trimwithdoug.com. Once again, that's trimwithdoug.com. No, I thank them. All right. So that's that on the most important announcement by President Trump. Most important. Now, we do have Randy Taylor, who's popped in. Randy, how are you, sir?
Good there, buddy. How are you today?
Very, very good. I went through the first part of the show talking about President Trump's announcement that he's going to stop the central bank digital currency. But I took it a level deeper just to give you a recap and to recap with the folks listening. Take it a little bit deeper. I wrote an article back based on a conversation I had with an insider when I went to Washington, D.C. We're just going to kill the U.S. dollar. That announcement by President Trump, by taking away the central bank digital currencies and the panopticon of surveillance, has its roots in killing the U.S. dollar, and as well as creating a surveillance panopticon and a control mechanism. You saw it. I saw it. Everyone saw it with the Canadian convoy, how easy it was to freeze their bank accounts. Well, this would happen on a on a global scale, but specifically on a U.S. scale. So that's I spent a great deal of time on that. But the run up to how the U.S. dollar became the U.S. or the world's reserve currency, and why it has to go. If you understand how we got here, you understand why they've got to take it down, in addition to the surveillance part of things. So that's where I'm at. So now I'd like to talk with you about a couple of other things, now kind of rapid-fire succession, if we will. This is cut one, Randy Taylor. Globalist unfortunate plans for the future. Now, this is Steve Gruber from Rural America's Voice, okay? This is about 6 minutes in length, but we're going to pause this about 2.5 minutes or close to 3 minutes in, and we're going to talk about what he says, because this is the essence, I believe, of the week. This is the essence of the week. I think he nailed it with this. So we'll go to cut one, Steve Gruber. And we'll run it right up to about 250. Go ahead.
Now, the annual dystopian convention of who's who and the ultimate collection of central planners is off and running, of course. And while they toss around fear-mongering over such things as disease X and 15-minute cities, you should not be surprised by any of it. After all, these globalist tyrants gathered in Davos, they work in government, transnational corporations, as well as NGOs, and privately behind the curtain and the velvet rope. They've been telling us for a very long time exactly what they intend to do. They've laid out their plans for all to see. They're so audacious, they're fearless. And they think, quite correctly, in fact, that the vast majority of the people today are completely clueless and, frankly, too stupid to even notice what's happening all around them all the time. You would think, after the stark reality of the massive government overreach of the faux COVID pandemic, that the majority of people would have by now figured it out, and maybe more people are waking up. But I still think more people than not remain in the dark, and they're there voluntarily because they're pacified. They're being distracted and entertained by a million things that have nothing at all to do with what's really at stake. As I've been telling you, what's at stake in 2024 is everything you care about, everything I care about. It really is that simple, and it really is that black and white. Today, that's why those on the left, from Washington to London to The Hague, are in a full-blown five-alarm emergency panic over what is looking more and more likely an inevitable win by Donald Trump on November 5th to take back the White House and become the 47th president of these United States. As an aside to that, let me give you an early warning about Trump's upcoming election victory. One of the most volatile, violent, and dangerous times in American history will be those few weeks of the transition. Between the morning of November the 6th, when they realize he's won, and noon on January 20th, when he takes the oath of office 2025, because if you thought you'd seen the anti-Trump forces work hard so far, you haven't seen anything yet. And that will continue to ratchet up between now and Election Day, too. But after he wins, it will not be like anything you've ever seen before, because left-wing violent extremists from both here at home and those that will come in illegally will unleash a storm like this nation has not seen before. It will be a very rough few weeks. That's my prediction. With the body politic having a violent upheaval trying to stop the inevitable. So right now, the powerful and unprecedented central planners are working furiously to get as much in place as possible during their annual meeting in Davos, where they're mapping out a brave new world where most of us are not really included. And if you think I'm wrong, well, you had better think again. Leading WEF advisor, they like to be called WEFers now, Yuval Harari, says rapid advancements in AI and technology in general will soon make people redundant and therefore obsolete and worthy of elimination. But in the meantime, they should keep us just, well, pacified. How? By keeping us stoned and stupid.
All right, pause it right there. Randy Taylor, what Steve Gruber said, I believe we saw this week, the planning of fighting against President Trump to regain the Oval Office. Like him, don't like him. I like him. I got my full support behind him. He's not perfect by any means, but I'm going to tell you what, he's better than anyone else out there at this moment, given the hand we've been dealt. So I'm playing that card. And but what he said, what Steve Gruber said, and I want your take on this. There's two extremely dangerous times now, from now until Election Day, and then when he wins on Election Day to when he takes office.
Yep.
Okay, your thoughts. Go on.
They'll be running up to it. There's no telling what'll happen. We talked about this before. They'll probably try to assassinate the president, former president. After he wins, I expect every lunatic in the world and anybody that has anything to do with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, whatever new groups they've come up with between now and then, I expect trouble in the streets. I think it's going to be crazy times. And, you know, we as people may have to get involved. It's our country. The National Guard can only do so much as they're putting down trouble. This, remember too, people, on this dollar thing. The one thing you always heard about COVID is that nasty little phrase that came with it that said the Great Reset. Okay, because they were originally, I remember when this crap was first happening, and just prior to it, we were getting a sniff of it. And they were talking about resetting the global economy. Like basically zeroing everybody out, debts and everything. Right? Zeroing out everybody. Start them at zero and starting fresh with a clean slate. Okay? Also, in the behavior, and you know that they're going to try and do this. Okay? We already know there's a centralized currency on its way. That's what they're going to try and do. But when you look at these countries like Canada and the U.S. and they're out here writing checks that they can't cash, they're writing them against a reset. They don't care. They're never going to be fully cashed anyway. It's going to be imaginary. Remember, anytime they talk about COVID-19, that Klaus Schwab always threw in the Great Reset in there. Well, their Great Reset didn't happen as they planned with the COVID-19. It did, that economic part did not happen. They're going to be trying it now. And listen, I think Kennedy was killed over money and, of course, pissing people off. But Donald Trump's in the same spot that John F. Kennedy was sitting in, basically, as far as people hating him. Being against war. You know, there's so many things there. And what happened to John F. Kennedy? They killed the man.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I was talking about.
Yes.
When President Trump, and you know, for your edification, if you don't mind, Eric the Tech, I know I prompted you for a different video. If we can replay that 36-second clip, which is cut 9,
yes, sir.
I believe, again, for your edification, but most importantly for the people out there, when President Trump addressed his victories, when he made his victory speech, this one part of that speech, I believe, marked him with a JFK mark. And I don't want to be, you know.
And he's aware of that. He's aware of that.
I believe he is. But
you know he is, because remember, this man also decided not to release stuff about the JFK assassination.
Oh, yeah. It's too horrible.
That's what I'm saying. But here's the part. He read it. He knows what's in there. He knows who's trying to kill him. He knows the Central Intelligence Agency is plotting right now, as we're delivering this show to you. The Central Intelligence Agency is planning on killing a former president.
And a future president, I believe.
Think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, think about that statement that I just made. The Central Intelligence Agency is planning at this moment. They're discussing how to kill the former president.
The CIA is ours, but I do believe that that's with the cooperation with the other.
The Five Eyes.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So, I know. I'm just saying the similarity. I'm trying to focus on the similarity between JFK and Donald Trump.
Agree.
I'm trying to align that. And, because it's so much in line, it scares me.
Yeah, very much. But just as JFK delivered his secret society speech, as well as his shattering the CIA to the winds. Okay. Think about what Trump said in that context. Here's cut nine one more time. 36 seconds.
Tonight, I'm also making another promise to protect Americans from government tyranny. As your president, I will never allow the creation of a central bank digital currency. You know about that? I didn't know you know so much. I'm very well, New Hampshire, very smart people. Very current. You know what they're doing. Such a currency would give a federal government, our federal government, the absolute control over your money. They could take your money. You wouldn't even know it was gone.
Yep.
This would be a dangerous threat to freedom, and I will stop it from coming to America.
So at that moment in time, I believe marked his fate. I mean, the intent of the CIA and the intelligence global.
Yes.
Apparatus.
He knows what he's taking on.
Okay.
He knows he's the toughest son again.
Okay. Now, moving next, but again, in the same fashion, what do we have today in the White House? You've got a guy that's cognitively impaired, you know, craps himself. I'm sorry to be gross about that. I don't mean to be. But
he's an imbecile.
He really is literally an imbecile.
An imbecile.
Yeah, exactly. So Jesse Waters, this is cut three in the show notes. Jesse Waters. Now, he was Biden, Harris, this week came up and saying that, hey, this Trump win, you know, it's bad. And Donald Trump is extreme. Well, wait a second. Who's extreme? It's not President Trump. It's not the MAGA movement or America First movement. It's them, Jesse Waters. Here's cut three. Go ahead. This is a minute, roughly.
You can't message policy because it's been a disaster. And I'm not a Democrat, so I'm not going to pretend like I care. I like that. Eggs and Unleaded. Mm-hmm. That's a good name for a band. So if Biden's calling Trump extreme, I'd jujitsu that right on him. And I'd say, you're backing CRT and sex changes for kids in grade school. You broke the bank, the border, and women's sports. I mean, your family's a freak show. You have solar-powered leaf blowers and putting windmills on beaches. You're extreme. It worries me because they have a lot of money, and the Republicans are splintering the money three ways in the primary, and Trump's spending $100 million on lawyers. Meanwhile, the media is like an in-kind contribution to the Democrats because they have a 24/7 attack situation. I just have never seen such an unpredictable election because you have the oldest, most unpopular sitting president who's just sitting back and prosecuting his rival while he's just laying back in an easy chair in Delaware. And then the media is colluding with the deep state to hatch this disinformation campaign and censorship campaign. And now just the baby boomer establishment in Washington, D.C. is basically like lighting everybody up in an orgy of tyranny and corruption and claiming they're trying to save democracy. Meanwhile, the rest of the country is just watching football and Netflix and complaining about the weather. This is like the weirdest election ever.
Boy, that summarizes the events of not just this week, but the entire 10 years.
Well, it's scary. It's scary, too. That's how we got where we're at. Nobody's paying attention.
And it's important to realize how we got here and who brought us there. Mm-hmm. And I take responsibility for a lot of that.
Absolutely. I do, too. It's collective effort. Absolutely. Neglect. I should say that.
Well,
collective neglect. We're all guilty of it. But here's the thing. We got to fix it.
And exactly. And who best to fix it? Now, Waters said an interesting thing. You've got President Trump who's hemorrhaging money, you know, and lawyers are not cheap. Let me tell you, even shitty ones are not cheap. I know that personally. But the Republican and the two-party system sucks, but the Republican Party splitting the funds three ways, DeSantis and Haley, the other two, along with Trump, which he's not getting much from the RNC. McDaniel should be booted, gone anyway. But the bottom line is, they've got to get rid of President. They've got to get rid of Trump. I mean, they've got to, right? And replace Biden.
Yeah, according to their math, Trump would have to go. You know what? 2024 is going to be the year you've never seen. You've never seen anything like what you're going to see this year. And be ready for the violence, people. I'm telling you, the left will take to the streets. You have a right to defend yourself. That's all I'm going to say. This is going to be a craziest year. I get emails all the time. Because of my background and this and that, what I should do, as far as governmental change. And I appreciate, and I'm quite flattered that you think I'm capable of some of those things, but I'm not. Listen, there's changes going to have to be made. It's going to be a really hard time. This digital currency, I know everybody's sitting around these punk-ass kids coming out of college going, oh, cool, $2,000 a month for nothing. Yeah. You better read Revelation there, my friend.
Well, and again, I think back to a decade plus ago, my meeting with this DHS insider, the insidious aspect of killing the U.S. dollar and really replacing it with...
And they've wanted to do that for a while, though.
Yeah, they have. And Obama, again, if you look at this through the lens of Obama 2.0, the Biden-Harris platform... everything kind of makes sense. Now, this next video, and moving on again to the planning this week, really the plan.
I got to ask you this. Have you ever seen a sorrier president and vice president in your life, even in history books? So, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever seen anything like this shit show we have in the White House?
The only thing that came close, I believe, would be Woodrow Wilson, Edith Wilson, when he had a stroke.
Okay.
That's it.
But this is, you look at it, the two most ineffective people I've ever seen, even on a, I haven't seen worse even trying to run for that office. I mean, these people are ridiculous. This is nuts. Like I said, once again, 2024 is going to be something, but they've been trying to kill the dollar for a while. We always had that little ace. It's kind of an ace in the hole when everybody had to use your dollar to buy and sell oil.
And that goes back to Bretton Woods and the 71, 74.
It just gives you a certain kind of power. And it helps us as far as a nation's credit rating, the whole nine yards. It makes you a player.
Player.
But when people start dicking around with that and playing around with that, you can find yourself, man, if that dollar collapsed, if the U.S. dollar collapsed tomorrow, do you realize that it would literally put us back to the Stone Age?
Which is what they
overnight.
Want. Again, yes. Subjugate the population.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
You do what we tell you, you'll be allowed to. Again, think of the Freedom Convoy, what happened up in Canada. That bastard Trudeau and that bitch Freeland, mm-hmm. what they did to the truckers.
Yep. Okay. And this is what they do when countries get ready to fall, is they cause all these problems, that strategy of tension.
That's exactly right.
Remember that strategy of tension, and they're building more. And here's the thing. It's already looking tense for 2024, and we haven't even seen all the players in place yet. But we have a good idea behind the scenes. We talk around the campfire. We know. But when it becomes public, it's going to be scary, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I want you to stop and think about it. This is the last time, possibly, that you'll ever cast a vote in an election. It's quite possible.
Yes.
If Trump doesn't get in, you can kiss that voting system goodbye. All right. They've already corrupted it. And what are we doing to make sure that doesn't happen? What are we doing? What if there's 150 million people right now ready to vote Trump in? How the hell do we get them past the bullshit that the left has put up to get it for somebody to cast a vote? They keep talking about, the left side is talking about, oh, well, these people are being withheld from voting. Oh, you're killing it where black people can't vote. The people in the ghetto can't vote. Why? It's never been a problem. They might not be able to vote because there were already enough dead people in the car that needed to cast their vote. You know, maybe they couldn't get a ride down there. But you know what I'm saying? This is the exact things that they're bitching about is what they're doing. If they call you a liar, they're lying about something. If they call you a thief, be advised, they're thieving something. It's always a distraction. What do you call that? Projection? Is that? Projecting what they're doing, but accusing you of it. This is going to get so crazy this year. Voting night, I expect bloodshed.
I expect bloodshed. Throughout the year, but I do believe.
I pray to God, no.
Man,
I don't want to see my country torn apart. I really don't.
But
I don't. I want the right things to happen. I know, and that's the thing. When they do that, and if you take the bait, oh, trust me, they would love it for a bunch of patriotic Americans to show up with ball bats and go after Antifa. They would love that. We'd be in martial law.
What the hell? Are we going to let them burn down our cities? Are we going
to
let...
See, and this is where you got to get the message to the people that make those decisions for martial law and all that. What we really need to do as a riot, we need to scare the shit out of these people in the government. You know, Lord knows that if a bunch of... you know, right winger MAGA people at least show up on the property and just are outside protesting. Oh, their lives were in danger. And oh my God, I had to have my bodyguard shoot somebody. You know what I'm saying? It don't take much.
We're
going to end up in the streets if we give a damn about the country.
We need to do what we did in Ferguson. I mean, that's to post people with weapons outside of buildings when Antifa and BLM show up. And, you know, if we have to shoot and kill people to protect our lives and our livelihood, so be it.
If we know where the protest is going to be, if we really had our act together, we would go to every business owner and have them sign a piece of paper that says we have the right to protect their property.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And put our people out there. I've had people, a gentleman emailed me yesterday, a very, very nice man. And he said, you know, what are you waiting for? Am I waiting for a command from somebody? And I was like, well, yeah, I can do the Lone Ranger thing. That's not going to be that effective. I'm not a young man anymore. Okay, it takes me a long time just to button my shirt because my fingers don't work right. Okay, so I don't know what you think I'm going to do on the business end of a firearm. You know what I mean? I'd be close quarters and keep them from killing me, yeah, but to go on a mission, I'm not built for that.
But you and I might not be, but look, I respect... And yes. I know this is a folklore. It was a cinematic presentation, a movie, a Death Wish. Okay, when Charles Bronson went out there, remember that movie in the 80s? He went out there, or 70s. I'm not sure which, but he went out and he took care
several times. Yes.
Yeah.
When they raped and killed his wife.
Yep.
And raped his daughter. She ended up in a mental institution. And that's when he decided enough was enough.
That's okay.
I don't have a problem with it. People that get upset about vigilantes, I don't have a problem with vigilantes.
No, I don't either.
Right. They wouldn't have done it if you were doing your job, cops. Now you're going to go after the vigilante. And they put more effort into going after the vigilante than they do going after the criminal that makes the vigilante work.
You know,
it just doesn't even make sense.
Exactly. And this is something, okay, so the reason I even brought that up is because that worked. And again, I get the fact it's a movie, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. if you really understand how these blue thinking morons think and act and the policies they employ, something like that could change a lot. Now, okay. Now, here's something else we're fighting against. I can't remember what I said to you off air, Eric the Tech. Video 2. Is that what I said? Okay. Here's what we're fighting against, too. And, now, this is part, this kind of folds well into what we're talking about, I believe. After or during and then after President Trump's win in Iowa, which, I mean, it wasn't just a win. It was a very historic victory. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, numbers.
It was awesome.
Now, the other side, how did they handle this? Dan Bongino came out with a clip. This is cut two. And this is what you and I, Randy Taylor, this is what you, me, Eric the Tech, and others in the media, as well as in, especially President Trump is battling against, and the entirety of the America First. If you are a popular or a nationalist versus a populist, a globalist, this is what you're up against, really, from Fox News, including Fox News. Screw Fox News for what they did.
It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sad.
But MSNBC, okay, the communist face of the media, they're saying the quiet part out loud. Now, Bongino did a clip. We'll play this clip and get your reaction afterwards. Clip. Two in the program notes, HagmanPI.com. Here it is.
I want you to watch this. I debated cutting this short, but I want you to hear. It's like a minute, 10 seconds or so. Here is Moscow Rachel Maddow, one of the craziest people you will ever meet. A conspiracy theorist, a liar, a fraud, a fake, a phony, a hysteric, a lunatic, a pseudo-intellectual, a stupid, smart person. I can't stand Rachel Maddow. I can't stand Rachel Maddow because she pretends to be this intellectual titan, yet she was dumb enough to fall for a pee-pee hoax or lie about it. That's how stupid Maddow is. I want you to listen to her try to frame what's going on here in terms of fascism. Again, this is all they've got. This is all they've got. Her watching this, her talking about fascism, while their network cut away and wouldn't even show Trump's speech, the left is trying to arrest Donald Trump and kick him off the ballot after they spied on him and fabricated a Russia hoax and weaponized the FBI against him. Yet Trump's the fascist. Listen to this, because, ladies and gentlemen, they really believe this. Take a listen.
The big picture takeaway from that, and I don't mean to be, again, too dark, as you said, on this, but it is not... If we are worried about the rise of authoritarianism in this country, we are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. If we're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government. The leader who is trying to do that is part of that equation.
Mm-hmm.
But people wanting that
Correct.
Is a much mm-hmm. bigger part mm-hmm. of that That's equation. Right. And the American electorate is made up of two major parties. One of those parties has been flirting with extremism on the ultra right for a very long time. They've brought them in a way that they haven't been central to Republican electoral politics ever before. And I know because I've been studying this. But once you have radicalized one major party so that those are the preferences of the people who adhere to your party, the leader's interchangeable. Mm-hmm. And yes, Trump is sometimes what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
MAGA movement is probably a better way to do it. But there is an authoritarian mm-hmm. movement inside yes. Republican politics that isn't being bamboozled by Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They are pushing Trump yeah. to get more and more That's extreme right. because the more extreme things he says,
the more they,
the
like
more they adhere to him.
Yeah.
And that is coming from a very large proportion of the American right that adheres to the Republican Party. And that's why this is a Republican Party problem more than it is the problem mm-hmm. of one man and his
leader. Doesn't that tie together?
Now, you may be fairly enough saying, Dan, what's with this? Why you put that on the show? Because, folks, listen, although the primary's not over, last night was a pretty big step towards getting there. Sooner or later, we're going to have to run in the general. I need you to understand that, quote, 81 million vote guy, that even if that number is close to accurate, I doubt it, there are still tens of millions of people out there who are going to vote only against Donald Trump. You're going to say to yourself, they're not going to vote for oatmeal brains, Chex Mix guy. Look at him. The guy's sniffing kids again. They don't care. They're not voting for him. They're voting against Trump because they believe what Rachel Maddow just said. They think Maddow's correct, that this guy's some kind of Nazi fascist. You need to understand. Then she talks about fascism. This is a woman who furthered so many conspiracy theories about Donald Trump. What a fascist apparatchik would do. Here they are last night, unironically, talking about Trump and fascism while they ban the guy's acceptance speech from their network. This guy's got the biggest chance of anyone to be in the next president. This media, they're like, no, no, we're just not going to play a speech. Listen to the explanation. This is hilarious. Check this out.
At this point in the evening, the projected winner of the Iowa caucuses has just started giving his victory speech. We will keep an eye on that as it happens. We will let you know if there's any news made in that speech, if there's anything noteworthy, something substantive and important. The reason I'm saying this is, of course, there is a reason that we and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump. It is not out of spite. It is not a decision that we relish. It is a decision that we regularly revisit. And honestly, earnestly, it is not an easy decision. But there is a cost to us as a news organization of knowingly broadcasting untrue things. That is a fundamental truth of our business and who we are. And so his remarks tonight will not air here live. We will monitor them and let you know about any news that he makes.
This woman is so full of it's like it's really hard to take her seriously. You understand that her nickname is Moscow Maddow.
Okay, you can
Russia
cut that.
Rachel.
Folks, I would urge you to watch the entire clip. It goes on for a couple more minutes, but you get the idea here. Mm-hmm. And I do have a reply. When I say a reply, something that happened back in the 70s, again, I go back to my days, and this appeared on television. This was a hang on 1 second here. We're getting it. Okay. This is my response. Now, put this in context. Again, this is my personal response. This is Dan Aykroyd. And just put this in context with what Maddow was saying and put this in context against that. Go ahead and hit this extra cut, bonus cut.
I'm station manager Dan Aykroyd. During the past few weeks in Los Angeles, actor Lee Marvin and his former live-in companion Michelle Triola Marvin have been in court to settle her claim that he owes her half his income from the 6 years they lived together. That is the subject of tonight's point-counterpoint. Jane will take the pro-Michelle Marvin point, while I take the anti-Michelle Triola counterpoint. Jane?
Dan, times change, and so does the nature of relationships. People are reluctant to get married these days, and looking at divorce statistics, who can blame them? But the lack of a piece of paper does not necessarily mean the lack of a total commitment. A woman in this modern-day relationship may well give up all her own personal pursuits, as Michelle Marvin claims she did, to give her full support to her man's career. And Michelle Marvin is just asking that the courts recognize that reality. Dan, there's an old saying, behind every successful man, there's a woman, a loving, giving, caring woman. But you wouldn't know about that, Dan, because there's no old saying about what's behind a miserable failure.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
And there you have it. That's my response in the context of that. That was from 1979, season 4 of Saturday Night Live. You couldn't get away with that today, I don't believe, on television. But going back to Maddow, mine is
how does she keep a straight face when she's talking?
Again, there it is, right?
How? You know, she's sitting there talking about fascism and accusing us of it when she's openly practicing it. She's pro-censorship. She's pro this, pro that, but everything she's pro is restrictive.
But it's a network too.
The fascist. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean. Oh yeah. I can imagine. And you saw Psaki sitting there, Jen Psaki. You saw her sitting there.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in one of their meetings with management.
Yeah.
I would give anything really to sneak in there. I mean, that's what we should do. Sneak in there like you're the air conditioning guy, whatever, and plant a bug in their boardroom. That, oh.
Friends were taking applications, RT at HagmanPI.com.
I'll tell you what, that would be, see, we would love to do stuff like that. We could do stuff like that. We need money, guys. Doug and I know how to do stuff like that. We've been doing it for years. Okay? We get trained by the best.
Hey,
we need some people out here that are listening to the show, okay, that have serious money, that want to do serious things to help ensure that the right guy gets in the White House and that we don't lose our republic in the course of this year. We're looking at losing the republic. And I want you to stop and think about that, especially if you've already made your fortunes. There's a lot of people that, listen, we need your help. There's a lot of people. We can put together a lot of things and do a lot of things. Just pick up phone calls. Send an email. Okay? Something. But we need to start getting together here. We're running out of time, people. Okay, and I'm not talking about violence and stuff like that. I'm talking about doing stuff behind the scenes that works awesome. You know what psychological warfare is? You people understand what that is. And the CIA has done it every time they toss to government. We have done that all over the planet, the United States has. Psychological warfare.
They waged it upon us.
And these people are ripe for it. Please, get in touch with us. We need to do something. I don't want to be sitting around explaining to my kids why everything went wrong.
Now, okay? Just to be clear, we're talking about leveling the playing field, right?
Yeah, that's it. And what we're talking about, there's things we need to do in the media that need to be said. There's things out there. Because I think that we can even rope some of the liberals if we just put it in their face what's really going on and make it to where a 10-year-old could understand it.
Now, we're also talking about on par with the legitimacy of Project Veritas. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Just so people don't get the wrong idea, because we have done some things in the past.
Yeah, I'm just saying where our experiences led us. Okay.
Yes.
I wasn't always an angel. Not the angel I am. Not the angel that I am today. You know, Doug wasn't always an angel.
but believe me, I know that. God,
the good Lord knows that too. But it's like I told you, I don't want to face the good Lord. You know what I mean? When the things that we could have done.
Well,
this was his gift to us, this republic.
Exactly, and
we
know,
squandered it. We squandered it.
Now, okay, so moving right along again in the week in review. In what they're planning, what they've already done. I think this next clip, and I'm going to surprise Eric the Tech on this, is this would be video 5. This is President Trump again. This is only 54 seconds in length. This is video 5 in the show notes. Go to HagmanPI.com, find today's episode, click on the title, and all of these links will be right there for you. This is clip number 5. And this is the other thing that President Trump said, because if you notice what's important to the left, and I'm going to let you have the time after this, but if you look at what is important to the left, look at what they're doing. Money, borders, the invasion. Why is there no touchy by our border czar, Neepads Harris? Okay. It's because it's by design. Everything that we're seeing, this influx, they're building an army, and President Trump said so. This is cut 5:50 seconds in length, roughly. Building an army in our country, President Trump, go ahead.
In 2019, our year, we had no terrorists coming into the country. As soon as Biden took over, we have record number of terrorists. So all those people you see come in the invasion, and it is an invasion, and many of them happen to be all male from 18 to 25 years old, perfect age for a soldier. 27,000 from China. Think of that. Are they building an army within our country? Could that be possible? Okay, could that be possible? Coming in from Yemen, coming in from all over the Middle East, coming in from places you really don't want to have too many people coming in. We have to be careful. But what they're doing is a horrible, horrible thing. You can almost predict within a percentile, I would say 100% certain, that you're going to have a major terrorist attack in our country because of what they're letting into our country on the southern border.
And I think it's worse than that. RT, go ahead.
He's absolutely right. We've been saying this for a long time now. I really and truly, like I said, I would love to just go out in a couple of these locations
be able to videotape and all that and put the stuff in President Trump's hand. So when he's on the campaign trail, they can't argue with him. I would like to, I want to work with President Trump. I think that the two of us and our organization here would be a great addition to the people that support Trump. There's things that we know how to do, the things we can do, that maybe he doesn't want to do. You know what I'm saying? Take it from that. If anybody from Trump organization is listening, get in touch with us.
Well, I'm going to be down.
We got to get your guy. You know what? It's cool. You'll be back.
Yeah, Eric the Tuck and I are going to be down, he's going to be down for a while, and I'm going to be down in Palm Beach County in February. But and again, there are people outside of the President Trump circle that I know mm-hmm. I'll be meeting with.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, but okay. So
I don't want to pin everything on one man.
No.
I want to support him in every way we can. I don't want to be sitting here after the election alone. What we could have done. Okay, we got to get past that, people.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got to do it. Okay, and that takes funding. All right.
Well, yes.
We got some serious people out there. Get in contact with us, please.
Yeah, and we can leave President Trump up there. And again, you know, look, the guy's a flawed guy. Okay, I get that. I get the fact that others are saying, well, you know, he's part of the cabal. If he was. Do you think that they would be trying to censor and sue and kill him and jail him?
God used Cyrus in the Bible. And even Nebuchadnezzar from time to time. You know, the Lord picks imperfect vessels to do his work.
Exactly. By the way, we're having video problems. Leave him up there. So you know, RT, we're having video problems, and folks,
okay.
We apologize.
I was gonna say, you look amazingly like Trump there.
Yeah, really. Well, I got the red tie, you know, too. Just not that shade of red. But look, we need, I believe right now, we're facing this Leviathan. This Leviathan from the left. From the globalists, from the rhinos. I mean, friggin' Brian Kemp is over in Davos when he should be prosecuting the crap out of that fat-ass Fannie Willis. Really. And he's over in Davos.
Okay, I got you now. Now I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Let me repeat that for effect.
Please.
Okay.
Please.
You've got this Leviathan coming against Donald Trump, against the America First people. People like, and also you've got this part of the Leviathan is the rhinos like Brian Kemp, who went over to Davos. Okay. Who's over at Davos now this week. When you should be prosecuting that fat ass Fannie, the Fulton County prosecutor, Fannie Willis, okay? He should be prosecuting her, but he's over in Davos. So, I mean, meanwhile, you've got the left, again, unironically, as Dan Bongino said, coming out and calling us fascists when, in fact, they're the fascists. They're the tyrannical mob that is silencing us. Or attempting to silence us. They're the ones that are canceling even Fox News. They're the ones canceling, trying to crush Mike Lindell. I feel so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was last week when Lindell came on Bongino and said, hey, Fox News just canceled me. And I find it really interesting, too, how they're saying, well, he didn't pay his advertising bill. That's what they're saying. Oh, bullshit. No, they're part of the friggin' problem. Go ahead, sir. I don't want to.
No, you're absolutely right. We're going to get it from all sides, people. We've been getting it from all sides. It's going to get worse. It's going to get dangerous for the right people. You know, if there's we need a lot of prayer, and we need some cash flow. Now we got to get some things done. Okay? And we all need to really get together on this. This is so... If you look at the World Economic Forum and what they're doing, they are destroying the world. They are trying to basically financially and even physically imprison the entire world's population. They want to imprison you in 15-minute cities. They want to know anytime you spend a dollar. They don't want cash. They want to tax everything. There'd never be a garage sale again. You know what I'm saying? Unless you have a credit card machine or something.
Unless you're approved.
Yes, there you go. And heaven forbid, you said, you know, that Justin Trudeau eats crap every day. Oh, no. Oh, my social score would drop overnight. You know what I mean? Exactly. I'd get up in the morning and try and buy a cup of coffee somewhere, and they would say, funds are good. They're insufficient funds. What? This is what you're looking at. And we laugh about it and all, but this is serious. This is serious. We've got to, and I hate to say this, we got to have a plan B, because if they assassinate Mr. Trump,
in any
we
way,
better have a we better have a plan or B.
Physically, yes, I agree.
I'm telling you, we got to have a plan B.
Now,
we can't do this sitting in somebody's garage. You know what I mean? Trying to, you know, with $11.25.
Exactly. And thank you in advance, by the way. Yes. This is Cut 7. We only have about 5 minutes left, 4 minutes. This is a one-minute clip. This is how these people think. This is what we're fighting against. And to wrap up the week, this is what they're talking about in Davos. And, of course, this new word now, ecocide. Have you heard about this? This is the way these nutbags think. Ecocide. Cut 7.
I mean, ecocide as a word is becoming more, it's becoming better known around the world, and the concept is generally mass damage and destruction of nature. But legally speaking, what our organization and other collaborators aim to do is to have this recognized legally as a serious crime. Because one of the issues that sort of pervades all of this discussion is that we have a kind of cultural, very ingrained habit of not taking damage to nature as seriously as we take damage to people and property. If you're campaigning for human rights, at least you know mass murder, torture, all of these things are serious crimes. But there's no equivalent in the environmental space. Unlike an international crime like genocide that involves a specific intent, with ecocide, what we see is actually what people are trying to do, what businesses are trying to do, is make money, is farm, is fish, is do all of these things that are, producing energy and so on as well. But what's missing is the awareness and the conscience around the side effects, around the collateral damage that happens with that.
Oh, my gosh. All right. To echo Dan Aykroyd from 1979, Jojo, you ignorant slut. Okay. You got the final 2.5 minutes. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got our hands full. And I know you folks are, and listen, a lot of you folks already support the show. Thank God for you. We love you. Okay, this year's going to be a tough year. Listen, we got Hagman Coffee. That's something everybody drinks coffee. So, you know, if you don't want to just donate, hey, buy some coffee. We got coffee beans. You say they're awesome. This coffee is awesome. We have 3 different levels. We got K-Cups. The only thing I will say on coffee, we can't get it to Canada because of shipping issues, okay? That's something we're looking into. But ladies and gentlemen, all over the continental United States, you could be drinking Hagman coffee, and it's good stuff, okay? And that's one way you help. It doesn't just help in the Hagman program here. That goes towards helping children. Yeah. We've taken on a lot of stuff here, okay? It's just we've got the right ideas. We just need things to make those ideas happen. And I mean, we really stress out over this. And that's why we need some good benefactors out there. We need to get in touch with it. We'll call us. We'll come and see you. Okay? I mean, whatever. Something's got to happen. But we've got to get there and support what President Trump's trying to do at different levels and different places. We've got to come up with a plan for what we're going to do at the polling booths, at the voting booths. That's going to be a huge, huge, huge challenge for the right. You're trying to, that's going to be monumental. But it's going to be necessary because these slobs cheated everything they do. And we got to catch them. And we got to burn them right then. We got to have the police involved. We need police reports. So when somebody says, oh, that didn't happen. Really? Here's the paperwork. We have proof.
Yep, exactly.
You know, don't fall for what we fell for before. We learned from these bastards.
100%.
And let's take it to them just like they've done to us. I'm
all right.
Done with this crap.
We're both, we've had our bellies full,
praise,
all of us.
Praise the Lord, we're still here.
Yeah, exactly. Randy Taylor, thank you for closing out the week on the Hagman.
All right, on, brother.
Appreciate
you. We love you guys.
Amen. Love all of you. And folks, there are videos that I did not play, didn't have time to play. Yeah. Check out HagmanPI.com, today's episode, under the label or the title of the show. Thank you very much.